AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show, and it's about to be your turn to call in. I know it's getting to be that time. You've got your relationship questions. I will give out the phone number again at the end of this segment, and producer Kayla will be on the phones, taking your calls, getting you ready for air during the next break. The number, you probably know it, is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. Don't call yet. We're not going to open the lines until after this segment. And I have a lot of questions already coming in on social media, so I've got lots of things that I hope I can answer for you. But first, I want to talk about our precious defense mechanisms. These are the strategies that we use to protect ourselves from, Freud would have said, psychic pain. They're usually completely unconscious. We're not even aware that we do them, but everybody uses various strategies. And when I go through some of them with you, you're either going to say, oh, my friend does that all the time, or my spouse does that all the time. You might have a hard time recognizing them in yourself. Because the thing is, they were put there to keep you away from discomfort. They were put there to protect you. You want to put a little distance between probably the biggest emotion people create a defense around, and that's the feeling of shame, right? I always feel like if we want to get healthy, we have to grow a greater tolerance for the feeling of shame. The feeling of shame is an ancient feeling. It goes back to our anthropological past when if you were shamed by the village, by the tribe, if you were embarrassed in a big way, they could literally exclude you and you could die alone in the wilderness. So this is the most visceral feeling out there, shame. But when you get better and better at saying, I'm sorry, I'm messed up, I'm human, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed I did that, I can't believe I said that. You can imagine how often I have to say that. I can't believe I said that. I'm sorry, right? You just get better at being real. I often say to people, therapy doesn't make you happy. It makes you real. And being real means being able to tolerate even uncomfortable feelings. So let's get into some of our favorite defense mechanisms. Denial. Now, denial isn't where people are like telling a little lie to themselves. They actually aren't even aware that they're in denial about something, right? So like, for instance, at the very beginning of a relationship, you start to date somebody and you've got all kinds of neurohormones helping you with this. This is normal denial. You over-report how great the person is, right? Because your brain is being assaulted with a cocktail of neurotransmitters. So that's sort of a sort of safe denial, right? But let's say you're further down into your relationship and let's say your partner is potentially being violent or being emotionally abusive, but you're telling your friends, no, she's really nice or he's really nice and they have a good job and you're sort of in denial. There's like this elephant in the living room that you're not addressing. This can make you feel unsafe because what are you really hiding from? The shame of having to say to your friends, yeah, we broke up. They're like, why? He was such a nice guy. No, actually he hit me once, right? That's a feeling of shame. So you got to get over it, get out of your denial. Then there's rationalization. Oh, smarty pants people use rationalization all the time. They create their own logical story to justify any unacceptable behavior. And they have very detailed stories about why this or why that. It's not me, right? Rationalization. And what happens is when somebody, let's say you have a conflict with a friend or a spouse, and you say, hey, you did this and it hurt. No, well, I didn't, because you should know that so-and-so said da-da-da, and so-and-so, they make such a good story that you even doubt your own feelings. Yeah, rationalizing, it's not a good one. Then there's always the projection thing, where there's a part, you know, Carl Jung called it the shadow. We all have a dark side of us that we can't tolerate seeing. So we look out in the environment and we point fingers at people who have the same thing. We will call somebody miserly and cheap when we're the ones who count our pennies and are terrified of spending money, right? We project it onto other people. So then there's one of my favorites. Freud said it's actually a healthy one, which is sublimation. Sublimation can be healthy or unhealthy. Sublimation is where you take the pain of somebody else or your own pain, you project it onto somebody else and you attend to them. So you will see people who have healed themselves from drug addiction will often work in drug treatment. People who have suffered child abuse will work with abused children, right? That's all good. But what about a sublimation is avoiding? What if you're going to the gym or for a run when you should be spending time with your spouse? People say, well, it's a good thing they're doing. They're being really healthy. Mm-hmm. Then there is compartmentalization. Oh, yes. Men are much better compartmentalizers than women, by the way. It's just the way their brain is. So when they're like watching the game and you come up and talk to them, literally all they hear is wah, 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 because they are in another compartment, ladies. The downside is when they're having an affair with their mistress, they're in another compartment. You don't even live in that compartment. So now you can see compartmentalizing is not good. We can do immoral behavior in other compartments like, you know, embezzling money or lying, stealing, cheating, whatever, and then come back and we're that happy, good, moral person in another compartment. Not good. Okay, I told you all of this is unconscious. And now you're like, well, Dr. Wendy, how do I figure it out if I do any of these things? Be curious. Be curious about yourself and ask people who you trust and love for feedback. Oh, they'll tell you. You just don't want to listen to them. But your friends will tell you if you ask them. What do I do? Dr. Wendy says there's denial. There's rationalization. There's projection. Which one am I? Now listen. And also, don't be afraid to get in touch with your feelings, especially the prickly ones that feel really uncomfortable. Because if you can express those feelings, if you can say, hey, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. I felt envious of you. Then it's released from your body. You're cool, right? So talk about shame. I'm sorry. I'm so embarrassed. I did that. I'm so embarrassed. I said that. Learn to say those words. Get them out there and they leave. And finally, work with a therapist. Get into therapy. They'll certainly help you with your defense mechanisms. They will see them. All right, we are taking your calls. 1-800-520-1KFI. Producer Kayla is going to open up the lines. The number is 1-800-520-1534. Ask me anything, if it's about love, sex, and relationships. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. Hi, AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. I am the love guru, and I've got some answers for you. If you'd like to call in, I do see the lines lighting up. It is 1-800-520-1534, but I'm going to start with a quick question from social media because I love it. A woman writes to me on Instagram, my husband of 15 years started doing new things in the bedroom. Where did he learn this? Am I saying I don't trust him if I ask? Okay. I know what you're thinking, which is true, that sometimes when somebody has an affair, it enlivens them sexually and they actually want more sex or different kinds of sex from their wife. So that's what your brain is going to, right? Could he be having an affair? Well, he could have learned it from porn as well. I don't know how you feel about that. But my feeling is if you don't ask, you'll never know. And remember what we just heard from Dr. Gary. The small skirmishes are what you have to deal with. Don't wait till it blows up. So ask him. And why don't you tell him some new things you'd like to try too while you're at it? Okay, moving on. Let's go to the phone lines. Who do we have, producer Kayla?
We have Vinny with a question.
Hi, Vinny. It's Dr. Wendy.
Hi, Dr. Wendy. I love you, number one. I've been listening to you for years. You've helped me do many struggles in my life. And here's the situation I'm in.
Okay.
So I was married, and we were married for 3 years. We ended up getting divorced. This was 7 years ago. And what happened was, during the course of divorce, in order to gain upper hand, she did what they call the silver bullet in divorce. She said that I was beating her and our children. Mm. Went through the trial, found out that that was 100% not true. I ended up with custody of the kids. Now we're 7 years later, and she has apologized to me personally, and wow. I've asked her to apologize to me publicly to my family, because that's where the greatest hit I took was to my family, thinking I'm beating her and my kids. Oh. And she also wants me to forgive her, and I don't know how to do that yet, so I'm asking for your help.
Vinny, first of all, I'm so sorry you went through that. And I'm so glad that she was able to get to a place where she could apologize to you. Now, we do know that extracted apologies never feel as good as the ones that just come spontaneously, right? When you demand an apology, correct, like, you must apologize to my family, it's still not going to help with a lot of the hurt that you have. So I would let that one go, or say, put it in an email. I can just forward it, whatever. Because okay, I know you want to look good in your family's eyes. And of course, the biggest question I have is, you know, how could your family believe her over you if they're your family? So sounds like there's some other work to do. But as far as forgiving her, you know, forgiveness is something you do to yourself. It's a gift to yourself. It's not a gift to her, right? Forgiveness is letting go of resentment, because we do know that resentment is like drinking poison and hoping somebody else will die. And so I suggest that the best way to forgive is to give yourself the gift of allowing yourself to move on and allowing yourself to look in the mirror and say, you know, they, whatever metaphor you want, they are just a little child making mistakes. I'm going to let this go. I deserve to be loved. And focus more on reminding yourself that you are lovable. You don't need her apologizing. You don't need your family to understand. You need to know that you're a good person and this was not your fault. Thank you for calling, Vinny. Who else do we have, producer Kayla?
We have Marianne with a question.
Okay. Hi, Marianne. It's Dr. Wendy.
Hi, Dr. Wendy.
What's your question?
At the beginning of the show, you said that your boyfriend told you that he wanted to break up, or he thought you should break up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, why would you not immediately just walk away from someone who said they wanted to break up with you, especially at a certain age?
Because I knew he didn't really want to. You know what? When you're like a mom of a two-year-old and you don't give your two-year-old a cookie before dinner, and your two-year-old screams, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, you don't walk out of the relationship. You know that those are the words they have, but what they're really trying to express is frustration because they're mad. And that's what I felt. There was something going on between us, and I had a boundary, and I said no, and it bothered him. And while we were assessing it, you know, he's pretty lucky. He lives with a therapist, right? So while we were assessing it, I said, you know, I don't think a girlfriend with no boundaries is what you need right now. And he was able to say, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And so I'll keep you posted how it goes. But I really feel like there was lots of other stuff beneath it, and he really didn't want to break up. So we assessed it. It was great. But thank you for calling, Marianne. Okay, if you'd like to call in, the number is 1-800-520-1534. 1-800-520-1KFI. Let me go back to social media here. There's so many questions coming in on social media. Someone asked, how do I handle my broken heart? So this is a question about healing. And let's talk about loss for a minute. Let's talk about what it is to have a broken heart. You know, even somebody who has a secure attachment style is going to grieve and have a time of feelings of loss. But for many people who can't seem to get over a relationship, it's more like the relationship and that person becomes an object for their own anxious attachment style. So if you've been broken up with somebody and it's longer than 6 months, well, first of all, do the work of actually breaking up, which means you can't like have them tempting you on social media all day long and showing you pictures of them out having fun. And because we only put the happy shots on social media, right? And so you have to completely disengage. You have to not follow them. You have to make sure that they're not following you. Block them, block them, block them, right? Actually break up. And then do some time analyzing what went wrong. And if you do need to go to therapy, do. And then if it's been more than 6 months, you're approaching a year. If it's been more than a year, if it's been 2 years, I mean, I've had some callers call and say they're trying to get back the wife they divorced 5 years ago. Then you got to say, it's not about her or him anymore. It's you. And it's you being unable to heal because this loss is just a representation of something that happened way earlier in life. And so the answer is, of course, to go to therapy. I'll also remind you that whenever you go through a breakup, that you must surround yourself with people who love you just for being you. Family members, your kids, friends, coworkers, because you need what we call your ego strength improved. And so if you just go out and laugh with some friends and be reminded of who you are, not a sad sack of a person who's crying and has been rejected, but somebody who is loved and cared for and who can have fun. That's how you heal a broken heart. Disengage completely, go to some therapy, and surround yourself with people who love you. Everybody goes through breakups. Nobody goes through a love life unscathed. But you will learn from this breakup how to be a stronger person and a better person, and maybe how to choose better next time. Okay, when we come back, I'll be taking your calls again. The number is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. Or you can send a message on social media. KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. So to the listener who had a lovely conversation on the break with producer Kayla, but didn't want to go on air, I understand. Clearly, the fact that you didn't want to go on air tells me that you are particularly sensitive to feelings of shame and embarrassment. So I want to protect you as much as possible. But what's interesting is that you projected those feelings. Weren't we just talking about projection, right? On to my boyfriend, using language like, oh, she took his gonads away and then handed them back to him in front of us all. You know, I think what you were really saying is, I hope Dr. Wendy didn't embarrass her boyfriend. I hope he's okay with this. And I want you to know he's 100% okay with this. He was the first person to say, you have to talk about your own relationship so that people know you're a human being and go through some of the same stuff that they go through, right? And so obviously I'm not going to disclose what the argument was about or what I said no to. That is private information. But I wanted to set an example so that you can understand that sometimes when a partner says, I want to break up, what they really do, those are the only words they have for I'm hurting. I need your help. I don't feel I have your support. So I need to explore what was behind that. And, you know, it was a good 45-minute telephone conversation trying to figure out what was really happening. And I think he's grateful. I'm certainly grateful. So I hope he is. You know, it's funny because he drives a bunch of different kinds of motorcycles. And one of his helmets has Bluetooth in it. And while he's riding, he listens to the show. But I happen to know he has his classic 1984 bike, his old BMW today. And he doesn't have any Bluetooth in that helmet. So he's not hearing this.
Dr. Wendy, I personally think that when you share your personal experiences and things that you go through in your relationship, it makes you that much more relatable. It makes me feel like you know what you're talking about that much more, because you're not only studying it, but you're living it.
You know, early in my career, when I said to a friend, I was like, you know, I as I'm learning about the science of love and the fact that we go through many, many heartbreaks and serial monogamy is what's most natural for us. And what I have been in my life, everything. I have been a wife. I've been a live-in girlfriend. I've been a single mother. I've been a mistress. I've been everything, right? I remember saying to this friend, well, because I was buying into this whole idea of patriarchy and capitalism that you have to find the one and stay with the one for life. Otherwise, you're a failure somehow. And my friend said to me, listen, doctor, he said, even doctors get cancer. And so even though, I mean, the whole reason why I focus on the science of love, why I began 30 years ago, just like Dr. Gary, who, you know, the author of the book that we just had on the show earlier, Stronger Than You Think is his book. He focuses on the science of relationships because he was trying to figure them out for himself.
And it's on our website if people want to check it
out. Oh, if you want to check out Did you put the segments up there too?
The segments up there, the books up there, everything's up there.
Great. Stronger Than You Think, The 10 Blind Spots That Undermine Your Relationship and How to See Past Them by Dr. Gary Lewandowski. So both he and I are obsessed with the science of love, not because love was easy for us, but because we have to work hard. And as I say to people, if you needed to lose 30 pounds, would you rather have a trainer who's a natural, tall, skinny ectomorph who's been exercising her whole life? Or would you rather have Oprah Winfrey as your trainer, who has worked hard to keep the weight off, and it comes back and she loses it again, and she knows how to do this? That's me, all right, when it comes to love. Kayla, I know you had a question, and I asked you to block the phones because it was something you wanted to address about Britney.
Yeah, I just feel
Britney
like...
Britney Spears, by the way.
Yeah, Britney Spears and her and what she's going through. I feel like she had her mental breakdown in 2007, and that made it a little bit easier for the court to see, oh, she's not mentally stable, let's take her kids away. But I feel like possibly since 2007, it's 2021 now. She's grown, she's been doing the work, she's been in therapy, she's been on meds. When are we allowed to lighten up on her and allow her to fight for herself?
And the question is her functionality due to the conservatorship, or is it due to the fact that she's matured and healed, right? And if we take away the conservatorship, who's watching out for her and all the Hollywood vampires that come flying in, right, to take her money and et cetera? So we need, like, we really need to figure out something in between, a step down program. Like, let's give her a certain amount of freedom and see how she does.
And but she wants to get out of the conservatorship without being evaluated again.
Evaluated. That I do not agree with.
Because I think she doesn't believe in therapy.
Well, she did say, which I liked, is yeah. She goes, I do kind of like believe in therapy because I know she laughed and said, I know I need a little therapy, but maybe not every week or something. Look, if all of us had enough money, we should all be in therapy every week. Folks, it is the new church. I do not miss a weekly therapy appointment. Are you kidding? I need an observing eye to help me make sense of everything that goes on in my week. So it is a luxury that most people cannot afford. But I think she does need to be evaluated. I think the court should pick a completely different team for this evaluation. And I think that there must be a way separate from the conservatorship to keep her on the straight and narrow. You know, I think of the case of Robert Downey Jr. And that when he ended up struggling from addiction, I also believe we should decriminalize addiction, by the way. It should be a health issue. But in his day, it was purely a criminal thing. And when a judge finally gave him the gift of sending him to jail, where he had no access to drugs, that was his wake-up call, right? So while I just don't think the judge should say, you're on your own now. If you want to go therapy, you go to therapy. If you want to take your meds, take your meds. Because I believe we are hearing the voice of a healed woman partly because of the support of the medication and the psychotherapy. So we've got to find a way to keep her in some of that without having them work her when she doesn't want to work because they're all getting paid. There's that money thing hanging over it that bothers me a lot. All right, when we come back. During COVID, did you have your adult child move back in with you? Maybe a college student who did college from home and you thought they'd be in a dorm. Maybe a young adult who couldn't get a job during COVID. I had one of those for a bit. Let's talk about how you can have a better relationship with your young adult children. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live on the iHeartRadio app.
Help me, please, doctor. I'm damaged. There's a pain.
KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. We are in the home stretch of the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. I want to remind you, you can always follow me on social media. The handle everywhere is at Dr. Wendy Walsh. Kayla, I am having a ball with my TikTok channel. Have I been on your For You page?
Yeah, you're amazing on TikTok, honestly, and Instagram. You're amazing on all social media.
I was at my book club last night, and a friend's 17-year-old daughter came up to me, and she goes, you know, you're all over my For You page. I love you. She goes, can I come into your apartment and see the TikTok background?
You are so popular and hip. Oh, my God, Dr. Wendy.
It's thanks to you and thanks to December Brown, who helps me with my social media. I kind of blew up over there on TikTok, but I love making the videos. It's great fun. All right. I want to talk about one thing before we go. because it's something that a lot of people are bringing up. I had a lot of women of a certain age at my book group last night. It was a topic of conversation, and it is how to have a good relationship, or at least a better relationship, with your young adult children. Kayla, how old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay, you're past it. When you were in your early 20s, were you cooler than anything and your mom drove you crazy?
Well, my circumstances were different, but the adults in my life definitely drove me crazy at a certain age. By a teenage young adult, I knew it all.
Yeah.
You can't tell me anything.
What I tell my friends is when my lips move, my daughter's eyes roll. Right. So that's pretty much where we're at right now. So I did a little research because, you know, I'm trying to figure out my own stuff. And what I found is that certainly for girls more than boys, mom hating is a stage. Right. Because girls and their moms are often so close that in order to separate, they have to create a big explosion. Men and boys have a little more autonomy as they're developing. They're less, you know, close. They're less touchy-feely. They're less all those things. I mean, my girls have been cuddled in my bed watching movies for 20 years, right? And so they need to create a big boom. Plus, I'm a pretty big shadow to grow up under. And so one of my daughters is a big extrovert, and she's got to stake her claim, put her flag in the world. And it's going to be done in a big, loud way. I want to remind you of this. That in order for a child of any age to love their parents, they have to be allowed to hate them sometimes. We have to be able, when they say those snarky things, to be able to go, okay, it's very textbook. I love you anyway. And just let that one slide, right? Because otherwise, they're converting the loving relationship into one filled with conflict. You can't actually dictate what kind of relationship you're going to have with your adult kids. We always hear about moms laying on all the guilt and dads. Are you coming home for Christmas? Whose home are you going to be at? Your husband's or your home? When are you going to get the guilt? When are you bringing the grandkids? That is an unhealthy way to deal. It's better to say, you know, here's what I would like to see. If you're unable to do that, then let's negotiate something that will work, whether it's time spent together, visits, or when they're young adults, not bringing their laundry over, not showing up and stealing all the food from your fridge. I've noticed that. I'm like, didn't I just buy a few dozen protein bars? Why is there one? Oh, the older one came to visit. Where'd my kombucha go? She's gone. Packed a little duffel bag on her way out with her laundry. So it's up to us to kind of erect our own boundaries, but also understand they are an adult. And remember, we also play a role in it. They're trying to say to you, I'm not a kid anymore. I'm an adult. You don't realize it, but you accidentally parent them. Your job's done. If you do your job well, you work yourself out of a job. So when they say, you know, Mom, can you pay for this? Or can you? But people think it's awful that I've cut my daughter off financially. I'm like, she's got a degree from Harvard. She's got a job. Okay, the only thing I pay for is her cell phone, so she'll call me. But she can afford life. She has more earning years in front of her than I do. You know, so I'm you're done. Once I do my job, I work myself out of a job. Now you come over for a meal, and I'll see you at Christmas. And we talk on holidays. And she texts me. It's so cute. She'll like not talk to me for two, not in anger. She's busy with her life. And then all of a sudden I get a barrage of texts about how to cook something. Because she's, you know, I did all the cooking when she was growing up. I would say you need to set up a reason to be together. You know how, you know when you lose touch with a friend, somebody you really like, and you think, we got to find something common again. We got to, like, I used to know her from yoga class. Maybe I can get her to come to this Pilates class. Or this was my friend where we ran this charity together. Or my friend that was a coworker, now maybe I can get her involved in this charity that I'm doing some work on, right? So you got to set up a reason to be together. And I watch some parents do it beautifully. For instance, my boyfriend is really into classic cars, and so is his son. So they always go to classic car shows together, right? They get up early and watch Formula One racing at 6 a.m. Even if they're not in the same house, because he's at my house, he's up and on the phone with his son, watching the race with him. So you got to figure out what your shared activity is. It's much easier for fathers and boys because they always have sports. They always have that team. And didn't I just say a sexist thing? I'm sorry, all you daughters out there who are big football fans. Call your moms about football, right? Okay. And didn't I say a bad thing about you dads? I mean, I met a dad recently who spent the day shopping with his trans daughter. for clothes because he hadn't ever bought her female clothes. And this was their new thing to do together. So anyway, get to know your young adult kid, stop parenting them, set up boundaries where needed, and see how the friendship will grow. Are we nearly at the end, Kayla? Nobody's been counting me down or anything here. I've been left alone.
Yeah, I'm like,
you know why? Because I saw the world famous Mo Kelly walk in, and all of a sudden, look at his thumb up, and all of a sudden, everybody became interested in Mo. I watched all the attention go that way. I was like, oh, Mo Kelly must be in the house. The real star's here. I see. I get it. Okay. With that said, happy July 4th. I'll see you next week. It's July 4th, next Sunday. I'm always here every Sunday from 4 to 6. You can always follow me on my social media. And yes, on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock, I usually do a live stream on my social media. So you can ask me anything there, too. I'm happy to help you. I'm nonstop advice here. You've been listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show here on KFI AM 640. Mo Kelly is next.